This is the Bonneville Up to Speed Podcast. I'm Kevin Ostie, coming to you from the PRI show here in Indianapolis. The Bonneville Up to Speed Podcast covers all things land speed racing, from vintage small displacement motorcycles to cutting edge land speed racers and everything in between. And today, we're here in the Jezel booth with a very special guest, Mr. Jason Lyon. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, no, I appreciate you taking the time.
No problem.
So you have been a very busy man in a lot of different areas recently.
Well, I try to stay busy. It keeps me out of trouble. So yeah, and I've got a lot of friends that like to keep me busy as well. So yeah, a lot of projects going on.
For sure. And I think the last time you and I chatted was at the Muscle Car Corvette Nationals, unveiling your GS Buick.
That could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Yeah, it was several years ago.
Yeah, for sure. Great car. 70 GS four-speed convertible.
Yes.
Blue. Yep. Diplomat blue.
I sold it.
Yeah, nice.
I had to. Yeah, it was too nice when it was done. I realized I just didn't enjoy it because I couldn't use it.
Well, they got to be stress-free instead of causing
stress.
That's
right.
Yeah, so I get all that. But today, the other day, actually, I was chatting with Wayne Jezel. About the Jezel Equal 8 engine program, and your name came up, and all the things they're trying to do there. So you've been in the development of that engine, and what's going on with that now, and what are you doing?
Well, we're building one more for Bonneville, which of course is that was how I got involved in the project. My son's actually going to drive the truck for Wayne, so yeah, super excited about the engine and honored that Danny would ask me to be a part of refining the engine and turning it into the work of art that it is. So yeah, I'm really excited about it. We're also going to build one for Competition Eliminator Drag Racing and see how much smoke we can make with it. So it's a cool engine.
It is a cool engine. So for those who are not familiar, the Equal 8 is a clean sheet engine that was basically conceived in the mind of Dan, right?
Yeah, I think it's basically a 50-year culmination of him looking at other engines and saying, you know, this could be better or this could be different, and sort of putting it into in his own put his own touches on it and make it the way he thought it should be. And it's really, in the end, it's really much easier to work on. There's a lot of really, really good things about it. It's a great platform for making a lot of power.
So the name Equal 8 implies that obviously things are equal. You know, you'd imagine left to right, but he like refined the design of everything.
Yeah, it's equal column valve train. So yeah, he thought of everything. And of course, you know, it took him a long time to do it. He's a, you know, he's a brilliant mechanical mind, and he thought of he really thought of everything. So, and everything that he put thought into is done in a very unique in a great way. So it's like I say, it's actually it's a joy to work on, and it's really going to be fun to see how much power we can make with it.
Now, a couple of years ago, actually here at PRI, I had interviewed Dan. He had just won the Engine Master Award, the Masters of Motors Award, I believe it was called, and it was with that engine, and it was still kind of in its, you know, prototype stage. So you alluded to working with him to refine this. How does that come about? How do you end up with one of those in your shop?
Well, for me, I guess, you know, probably like a lot of things, right place, right time, just a little bit of good luck and having an association with Wayne and Bonneville. So, you know, some of these things that come together in the end, it's hard to explain exactly why it happened. But for me, a stroke of good fortune. I've learned a lot from Danny, and he's a great guy.
Now, when you set something like this up, obviously, being an all-new design, it's not like you've got, you can't pull the old Smokey Unix small block book off the shelf and get tips, right? And you're doing this for land speed racing, which is an entirely different recipe than a drag race engine in many ways. So what's the approach?
Well, I think the engine can be tailored to either, you know, either form of racing. So that's probably the beauty of it. It's got enough latitude designed into the engine that you can use it for a variety of applications. So it's, like I say, it's a great engine. And, you know, I'm sure there's some Smokey Unix thoughts in there, right? Mm. Because, you know, Danny's again, you know, very, very smart man. And he looked at all these different things and said, you know, what are the good pieces of them and what are the bad, and combined it into one thing. And like I say, the engine is, it's she's bad to the bone.
So you've essentially built a couple of these now, right? Or is this the first one that you're working on?
I've worked on a couple of them, yes. Yeah. So, yeah. And again, you know, each time I touch and feel it, we're hopefully going to make it better. So, initially, it was more get it done for Bonneville and try to make a good, safe package. My son was driving, so... Mm-hmm.
That'd be safe.
Yeah, never driven out there before. So, but, you know, now we're going to focus a little bit more on trying to make it make more power.
And he was, if I'm not mistaken, he was supposed to drive this past year, but the event got rained out.
Yeah, Mother Nature had other plans, so so that gets pushed back for a while. So
what do you guys do at that point? Do you continue where that was for 22, kind of keep it on the shelf, and for 23 pull it out as is in the truck and go run it then? Or are you changing stuff now? Or?
We have a bunch of different stuff we're going to do with it. So we're going to continue to work on it.
That's cool. So what are you doing differently for the drag race application?
Well, obviously the camshaft will be much more aggressive, and the piston design will be slightly different. There'll be a variety of different changes, but you know, obviously when longevity isn't as big of a concern, you can certainly build the engine differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can make this more of a hard hit than a...
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't need to survive for you know, 5 minutes or a wide open throttle. So
what kind of numbers are we seeing on this in its land speed race trim as far as RPM capability, power?
Well, like I say, we softened it up probably a little bit too much, really. But on our dyno, it made 1,125 horse.
Nice. And what's the displacement?
429.
429. That's some serious power out of 429.
So, yeah, and again, it's, you know, it's very, 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 very safe. So you could drive it on the street probably. So
yeah. Wow. Yeah. So is this something that's always fascinating to me on land speed Bonneville type cars is where you put the torque curve.
Yeah. Well. You know, you'd like to have a long, flat power band no matter what. That makes it easier for the driver, and it's easier to go fast that way. So having a nice, flat torque curve is always good.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said your son's going to be behind the wheel. What's his experience level at this point?
Right around zero. So
awesome.
That's so he doesn't have a whole lot of experience. He did drive Danny's Porsche Cayenne over at Blytheville, Arkansas. He got to go over there and set a record. He went 161 with the Porsche.
Yeah, so nice. So that's far from zero.
Zero. It is, yeah. But you know, the Porsche is pretty nice to drive.
Yep. Yeah, it's not the Ram pickup truck for
it
sure.
It is not.
And that course is not the salt,
right? You know? But you got to start somewhere, so sure. It was a good stepping stone, and he's super excited about doing it. He's to say he's enthusiastic is an understatement, so
that's awesome.
And he's involved with all the with working on it as well, so
yeah. Well, one of the things that's so cool about that truck, not only has it provided opportunities for so many people to get behind the wheel, it's also just such a neat story that was a real truck. It was a parts truck,
right?
That got converted.
Well, you know, Wayne and Danny have provided a lot of opportunity for a lot of folks, and I feel very fortunate that I'm one of them. So the truck has a cool history, and it's not done yet.
Yeah, well, that's awesome to hear. So as far as, you know, your shop and your day-to-day, what else you got going on these days?
Lots. I'm building a dyno room right now, so just putting an addition on the back of my shop to do that, and working on, you know, trying to cast engine blocks, that's been a big undertaking, but finally making some ground on it. Still got a little ways to go, but big undertaking for sure. But do that, and a few carburetors here and there, and a couple engines here and there, and always enough to keep busy for sure.
Oh, absolutely. So tell me about the block program.
Well, we're making big block Chevys, iron and aluminum, and also iron and aluminum Hemis. So. The Hemi's been a real challenge for sure, but it's kind of one step forward, two steps back. the Chevy is going to be a little, I think that's going to happen a little faster. So.
Okay. Yep. So, I mean, for somebody who wakes up one day and says, I want a new block, are we deviating from the design, or are we just making these available, or what were the goals?
We're trying to make it better for sure. Yeah absolutely. This is we want to make the Cadillac of engine blocks, of cast engine blocks. So yeah, no, definitely better. But if they wake up and have that thought, you should probably talk to them, Kevin, and try to deter them. So it's easier said than done.
Well, I can't even imagine. First, you've got the design. Then you've got the logistics of a foundry and a machine facility the money. And then is there a licensing thing there too? Or
No, not on this, but there's a variety of hurdles, to say the least. Yep.
Yeah. It's funny because there's so many times when you hear people say, hey, they should make this. And it's like, well, yeah, they should, but it's not just making the thing. It's all the stuff around it.
No, right. There's a lot that goes into it. And like a lot of things, everything's easy from the outside. And if you think it's easy, you just try doing it yourself, and then you'll find out there's a little more, it's always a little more complex than what you thought.
If it's easy, you missed something.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's very easy for the guy that doesn't have to do it.
There you go.
Yeah.
So as far as the progress of that program, have you made them yet? Are we still in
the Yes, we have. Yeah, we actually delivered our first Chevrolet iron block yesterday, actually.
Oh, congratulations.
Yep.
And what are some of the benefits of the new block design? Is it stuff that's easier to machine or more?
Well, hopefully to start with, you can actually get it.
So for sure.
Right now, that's always been an issue, but... we started with a 396 block, iron block, because you haven't been able to get one from some of the other places like we used to. So started with that. It's definitely a sturdier piece with some latitude to make a lot of power with it as well. So if you wanted to turn it into a 632, you can do that as well. So
nice.
It's a nice sturdy foundation to build a good engine.
And as far as the outside appearance, is this something that would look at home in a fairly original car too? Or?
Yeah, it's a little racier. We don't offer it with anything but port plugs, O-ring, freeze plugs, all that stuff. So it's a little racier looking.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Which is okay. I mean, if you're going to build a high horsepower 632,
yeah, nobody wants a freeze plug coming out. So,
right. Yeah. Where can somebody learn more about the block?
Well, we still haven't introduced it yet, so this is probably the first anybody's heard about it.
Well, that's why I have all these questions. Am I behind the times?
You drug me in, Kevin.
Yeah, but, right on.
We're not ready to sell it yet, but we're getting closer. So we give it to a couple different engine builders, the Hemi as well, to kind of letting them work out some of the issues so we can perfect it, because we want to sell something that's jewelry, not cookie cutter stuff. So.
Well, and having your racing background and your engine building background, you know what it's like to get something that isn't done or isn't what it's supposed to be.
That's frustrating, yeah. So we definitely want to try to avoid that for folks and make it a little bit easier. That's definitely the plan.
That's awesome.
Yep.
All right. So as far as the getting back to the salt, the 23 program, we're going to see the Equal-8 return in the truck.
We are.
And hopefully your son behind the wheel.
Yes. Yeah, he should be. Yep.
And
if all goes well, we're going to probably take it somewhere else and run it first just to get him a little more experience. But that's the plan so far.
Awesome. Well, hopefully Mother Nature, got the memo from last year that we don't need to do that again.
Yeah, hopefully.
Although it's my understanding that the salt is looking really good because of that flood that happened last year. Things got a chance to level out.
Everything happens for a reason. So
for sure.
We'll hope for the best and see what happens.
Awesome. Well, Jason, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. And, a little leak here, exclusive on the engine blocks. That's awesome.
Yep, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah, it's my pleasure. This has been the Bonneville Up to Speed podcast. If you like this kind of stuff, you can click that subscribe button, and the next episode will magically appear in your inbox. If you want to learn more about the schedule of the Bonneville Salt Flat Racing or El Mirage, go to scta-bni.org, and they've got all that information there. And again, for Mr. Jason Line, I'm Kevin Oste, coming to you from the PRI show in the Jezel booth. Thanks for listening.